The Internet Multicasting Service presents the National Press Club Luncheon with speaker Heather Whitestone.
Our speaker today is remarkable in many ways. She is beautiful, gracious, personable, an honor society student at Jacksonville State University in Alabama, and an accomplished ballerina. But she is more than that. She is a highly motivated and determined individual who believes that through hard work and positive self-esteem, anything is possible. She has not let her 95% hearing loss bar her from achieving what most people can only dream about. Although only 21 years of age, she has served on the Alabama Governor's Task Force for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. She is currently an executive member of the President's Committee on Employment of People with Disabilities. She is also the creator of the Inspiring Stars program, Success Through Action and Realization of Your Dreams. Today, she will announce a public service initiative to promote early detection of deafness. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pleasure and admiration that I present to you Heather Whitestone, Miss America, 1995.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the wonderful introduction. I'm honored to be invited here today to share some thoughts about being Miss America, especially during the 75th anniversary of our organization. I also have an exciting announcement to make about a very important public service campaign. But before we do that, let me quickly review my year as Miss America. I will never forget the night that I was crowned Miss America. You have probably seen the news reports on TV. I could not hear them announce my name. I knew that if Miss Virginia started to cry, then I had not won. But she did not cry. She pointed to me, and that's when I realized I had to be chosen. Since that night, I have learned what a challenging and rewarding job it is to be Miss America. And I mean job. Since September, I have traveled 20,000 miles a month, changing my location every 18 to 36 hours, addressing schools, corporations, and community groups, spreading my message to the American people. I have met and worked with leaders of Congress, heads of corporations, and Hollywood stars. I was appointed to the Board of the President's Committee on Employment of People with Disability. And I even had the privilege of signing the national anthem at the Super Bowl before a worldwide of more than 200 million people. My schedule also included the kickoff last month of our 75th anniversary. At a press event in New York City, we made several announcements that reveal how dramatically Miss America has changed over the years. And today, more than ever, we offer young American women an opportunity to advance their own lives and the lives of others. But more on that later. Who is Miss America today, you may be wondering. To understand who we are today requires a brief review of our history says it reflects how the Mr. American organization has mirrored the evolution of women's roles in our society. The Mr. America competition began in 1921 as a baby beauty contest held for fun on the beaches of the Atlantic City. What began as a tourism stunt quickly gained popularity and a tradition was born. By 1945, the organization began to take steps to shift its focus from service beauty to reflect a deeper meaning. With that, Mr. America scholarships were born. And I'm pleased to say that in the past 50 years, our organization has provided more than $100 million in scholarship to motivated young women across the country, $24 million last year alone. Today, the Miss America organization is the single largest provider of scholarships exclusively for women in the world. But while the scholarship program bolstered the pageant's popularity in the 40s, it was the dawn of television in the 1950s that brought Miss America into every living room in the country. Television gave new dimensions to Miss America, awarding her instant recognition and fame nationwide. But today, the Miss America is the fourth longest running live event in television history. And to celebrate our 75th anniversary, this year's telecast on September 16 will be a special 3-hour event that will have universal appeal so that even people who are not fans of the Miss America pageant will not want to miss it. Trust me. Because of television, Miss America was fast becoming a Hollywood-like celebrity, a symbol of beauty and glamour. But like the rest of the country, the 1960s brought a new social awareness to our organization. And the beauty queen image that was Miss America quickly gave way to real-life role models committed to social cause. Miss America and our state title holders began using the high-profile image to speak out on such topics as the women's movement, civil rights, and the Vietnam War. When American women began breaking the glass ceiling in the 1970s and early 80s, their ambition and our outspokenness produced a new breed of contested, educated, determined, and goal-driven, yet caring and compassionate. From these roots sprang the concept of the personal platform, an important social issue a concern to Miss America and our society at large. The platform was formally included in the competition in the late 80s. It is now an important aspect of each contestant evaluation. Today, each new Miss America's identity is shaped not by some aspect of her physical appearance or personality, but by her commitment and dedication to her chosen platform issue in this way. The organization's history has truly mirrored the evolution of women and society in general. But let me take a minute to talk about the future. At our 75th anniversary kickoff last month, Leonard Horne, our CEO, announced two new programs that are sure to shape the future of the Miss American organization. The first is the creation of the Miss America Foundation to support programs that all promote education and achievement of women and young girls who otherwise would never have benefited from the Miss America organization resources. Our goal is to expand the benefit of the Miss America program beyond our contestants, using our name to support projects undertaken with other deserving organizations. In addition, the Miss America organization has extended the personal platform concept to adopt a new corporate platform of community service. To help bring this to life, we have formed a partnership with the President Corporation for National Service, which is compatible with our mission in two ways. First, our contestants can address their personal platforms through ongoing community service projects managed by the Corporation for National Service on the local level. And our network of more than 300,000 volunteers can participate in these community service projects in addition to running our state and local competitions. I think it's clear from this project that the Miss America organization's future is about using the power of the crown to improve our society. It is about looking at the outward rather than look inward, seeking to use our resources to help others rather than judge the contestant aspiring to be Miss America. But beyond representing the Miss American organization, during our 75th anniversary year, I am focusing most of time on my own personal platform. In October, I launched my platform in a press conference on Capitol Hill, hosted by the members of the Alabama State Delegation. I cannot tell you how pleased I am to represent the state of Alabama and to be the first woman with a disability to serve as Miss America. As such, I realized that I represent 49 million Americans with disability by putting a human face on this issue, which many people still will not discuss. And by showing our country that we can overcome the obstacles and achieve our dreams. But I did not earn this title because I am deaf or because I have a disability. Like all other former Miss America, I was selected because I am a woman who is not afraid to take chances. stand up and be counted. And beg and wish to come. And also make a positive contribution to our society. My platform is reflection of who I am and my experiences. As you may know, I have been profoundly deaf since I was 18 months old. Without my hearing aid, I hear nothing. But that didn't stop my family. When people told them that a normal life for me would be impossible, the word impossible has never, never been in my family's vocabulary. My mother invested a great deal of time and energy into teaching me to focus on my abilities rather than my disability. She told me early on that the last four letters of the word American spell I can. This, plus a strong faith in God, led me to my platform topic, which I have titled, Anything is Possible. I have chosen to direct my platform to America's youth. In reaching out to them, I am advocating an approach I call STARS. Success through action and realization of your dreams. The 5 points of the STARS continually remind me of these very important elements of success. First is have a positive attitude. Second is have a dream, especially education. Third is face your obstacles, no matter how great they are. Fourth is to work hard. And fifth is to build a support team. Have a positive attitude has been a key to my success. Sure, there have been times when I attempted to let my disability to get in my way. But with the support of others, I continue to set my goals high and work hard to achieve them. Through my platform and similar efforts, I truly believe we are having a positive impact on youth, both disabled and non-disabled, through this country. I can see it in their eyes, in their face, when I speak to them. They want to believe in themselves and the future of our country. Yet I could not have accomplished so much in such little time without the people and organizations that have joined me in this effort. Organizations like Alexander Graham Bell Association for the Deaf. This group has supported my work from the moment I was crowned. It has been instrumental in the development of a groundbreaking new campaign that I have the privilege of announcing today. Clearly, my own background demonstrates the importance of early detection of hearing loss. When I lost my hearing as a baby, my family noticed it. It had to be tested immediately. The early detection of my hearing loss enabled my family to act quickly. As a result, I received the educational help and encouragement I needed right away. I cannot stress enough how critical this was to my own development. But not every child is so lucky. Today, more than 23 million Americans live with a hearing loss of some kind. And one in every 200 babies born this year will be affected by a hearing disorder. Hearing impairment is more common than any other disability that children are regularly tested for. Yet despite this fact, only 5 to 8% of babies are screened for hearing impairment each year. In fact, the average age of detection is 2.5 years, long after speech and language development have been affected. Our nation's children who are deaf or hard of hearing are losing a critical window of opportunity because of delayed detection. I believe we have the power to change that. Today, I am pleased to announce the largest effort aimed at promoting early detection of deafness and hearing loss in our country's history, and one of the largest public service campaigns ever involving a Miss America. The multimedia public service campaign will include 1,000 billboards nationwide worth more than $1 million, reaching an average daily circulation of more than 35 million people. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's Kate. Okay, this is the billboard. Also, television public service announcements will reach an audience of 20 to 30 million households. Thank you. The value of this airtime is estimated at nearly $1 million. Plus, NBC has agreed to air a separate PSA on early detection as part of it. The more you know, during network prime time. But that's not all. Press materials will also be provided to weekly newspaper around the country, and PSAs will be distributed to more than 6,000 radio stations. Through this astounding effort, which begins in mid-March, we will be able to reach millions of parents across America with a powerful message that early detection can make all the difference in a child's life. Most importantly, this campaign will help drive down the average age of hearing loss detection. It will allow families to ensure their children are given the right educational opportunities and communications choice to help them succeed. For me, the right choice was to learn to speak. For others, it may be to learn speech or sign language or to explore other options. But none of these options can be meaningful without early detection. Like everyone, these children have hearts and minds and the power to rise above their challenges. They need only to be given a chance through early detection. But before I end it, let me take this opportunity to thank a truly dedicated team of people who have given their time and effort to make this possible. It's hard to express how much I appreciate their contribution to this important cause. First, our partner in this effort, the Alexander Graham Bell Association for the Deaf, for their leadership in developing in this campaign. Special thanks also goes to the Outdoor Advertising Association of America for sponsoring the billboard campaign, to Communicore and Natus Medical. Thank you for underwriting the press materials and radio PSAs. And finally, which of course, to the Miss American organization for giving me this opportunity as Miss America to speak out on behalf of deaf and hearing impaired children and all children, whether they have disabilities or not, through my platforms. This campaign and winning Miss America are both dreams come true for me. But even in the short time that I have served, I have learned that being Miss America is not about fancy lunch or being treated like a celebrity. It is about sacrifice, giving up my personal life, especially for 1 year, to help others have a better life. I could not give myself to a better cause than to help our nation's children succeed. Who knows? Along my way, I could be helping a future lawmaker, or astronaut, or teacher, or even maybe a future Miss America. After all, anything is possible. Thank you.
And now the questions. When and how did you first become interested in competing for the title of Miss America?
Okay. When I first competed for Miss Alabama, I was a freshman in college. I entered this pageant because I needed scholarships to further my education at college. And Miss America organization had wonderful scholarship available to young lady. So that's why I entered it. But really, a year before I won Miss America, I visited Atlantic City to watch Miss America pageant, and I saw what a unique opportunity Miss America have to make a difference in this country. During my high school and college years, I have tried to tell people, especially young people who gave up their dream too fast. And I said, when you fail, it doesn't mean a dead end street. It should provide you another opportunity to find a different solution. But it wasn't strong enough. My advice was not strong enough. So I looked at Miss America crown. I thought, maybe, you know, this crown gave me a tool to challenge them harder. It worked. It really did. So that's why I entered it. Okay.
You have a great interest in the arts, particularly the dance.
In dance?
The dance, okay. Right? Are you doing anything with disability organizations to make the arts more available to people with disabilities?
To arts more?
Working with disability organizations to make the arts more available to people with disabilities?
I believe so. I believe it helps more with the people who have disability, because I have seen so many people give other people a chance to be themselves and look at their abilities first. And I really believe it helped a lot more, yes. Okay, am I answering correctly that, or did I misunderstand the question?
I think they were...
I need to read him.
All right, yes.
Rather than, yeah. I take responsibility. Okay, you have a great interest in the art, and you are doing to make the art more. Oh, yes, definitely. Okay, I misunderstood.
Okay.
But I take responsibility. Thank you. Yes, definitely. I remember when I went to public school, I was a little girl, and I knew I was different from them because the communication was so much easier for them, but not for me. But when I went to dance class with other students who are hearing, I felt accepted because I could do like what they do. And it helped me to build self-esteem, and I really believe it helped me to compete for the Miss America pageant too. So I totally believe the art. I'm sure there are more available, because I remember when I travel across the country, so many of them do drawing art. There are a lot of arts available to the people with disability. I believe that. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. As you've traveled throughout the country, what have you noticed about the effectiveness or lack of effectiveness of the Americans with Disabilities Act, the law governing accommodations for people with disabilities?
Okay.
Have you noticed?
Okay, as I travel across the country,
yes.
What have I invented, the ADA law?
Have you seen the effect of it on helping people with disabilities?
Okay, yeah, I have seen a lot more and more people are aware of the ADA. Unfortunately, there's some situations they are not aware of the ADA law. But remember, I don't believe success should happen. It should take time. And we have to plan to make it happen. So they're working on it. I'm sure we're working very hard to bring more awareness to our country. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
On the Miss America contest, do you think that other competitions, such as Miss Teenage America and Miss USA, lessen the prestige of the Miss America title? Is there overkill in this whole area of contest?
Is there overkill? Okay, what did that mean?
Too much. Is there too much in terms of Miss Teenage America, Miss USA, Miss Universe? Is there too much?
Too much? Is there overkill? I mean, you mean there are too much pageants
going
on?
Yes, yes.
Well, remember, we have the freedom here in this country. If anybody wants to make more pageants, that's fine. But we're different. Miss America's pageant is so different from any other pageant. We're different. Okay.
On your early detection, does early detection of hearing loss require a visit to a doctor or clinic? If so, how do families living on limited incomes provide for this necessity?
That's a very good question, yes. If the family noticed that the child has problem with hearing, they need to immediately go to the children's doctor for a screening test. Now, there are some people, you know, who have very little money, but really the Medicare or public health clinic, I believe I'm correct. Let me check. But I'm sure the Medicare, let me just make sure. I'm sure, yes. The Medicare and the public health clinic, they will be happy to help to test the child if they have hearing loss or not. So there are many ways. Yeah. Okay. Oh, also, one more thing, I'm sorry.
Sure.
There's some areas do not have that kind of help. Still, there's more hope. Let's see. Yeah, they can call the Alexander Graham Bell Association for the Deaf or American Speech Hearing Association or the American Academy of Audiology or the American Academy of Ear, Nose, Throat, Physician. So they can call and get free information from them. I mean, especially like Alexander Graham Bell Association for the Deaf, but they could get more free information. But there's more hope. Trust me, there's more hope, yeah.
Some in the deaf community favor sign language over oral communication.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose speech over sign language?
Okay. Yeah, this is the question they ask me a lot. Said I was Miss America. I understand that. Really, I worked very hard to learn how to speak. This is not a very easy task for any deaf person to learn how to speak. And it took me 6 years to say my last name correctly. I want to be true to myself. I want to be myself. So I want to take advantage of my hard work. But I'm not saying I'm against sign language. I do know sign language. And most of the time when I give speech, it's difficult for me to speak and sign at the same time because it's like two different languages at the same time. And I also learned to sign when I was in high school. But I really respect sign language, and that's fine with me. Yeah.
Well, one questioner wants to ask whether you can please show us how to say anything is possible in sign language.
Okay. Anything is possible. I think, am I right? Yeah. Anything is possible. Yeah.
Does your speaking schedule include any appearances in other countries? So many countries need to hear your message.
Yeah, I would love to go to another country to give my message about my STARS program. But unfortunately, as Miss America, I have to reach out to the youth in America, and they're worth it more. We need to help our American first. And I'm sure there's a possibility I may visit another country after my year of service as Miss America is over. Yeah. Okay.
With your busy schedule, how do you stay fit? Do you still dance? Do you play any sports?
Yeah.
Okay. And wait a minute.
Okay.
Do you eat special foods like chocolate ice cream?
Okay. Well, really, before I became Miss America, I danced 5 days a week for 2 or 3 hours a day. I could eat anything I wanted. It was wonderful. But after I became Miss America, because I travel in the airplane every other day, and also I live in the hotel. And most hotels don't have dance studio, but lift waiting in a weight room, and I'm not that crazy about lift weight. But so I try to use my creative ideas. I do aerobic on the TV show, on videotape. I also dance, but it's bar exercise because most hotel rooms don't have a big space for me to dance, you know, chop a turn. I do watch what I eat now because I don't dance every day, but I still eat chocolate. Look at this. But I didn't finish it because I felt guilty. I want to go back to dance after Miss America, and that's why I'm watching what I eat so I don't look like I'm overweight when I come back to dance studio. So, okay.
How has your religious faith affected your pursuit of goals such as mm-hmm. competing for the Miss America
yeah.
title?
I really believe, and I know that some people in this country don't agree with me, and that's okay. But I truly believe Jesus is my key to my success. Jesus taught me how to overcome my obstacle. But not everyone agree with me. But it does make a big difference in my life. Yeah.
What's next for you? School, graduate work, what are your plans after the Miss America title?
Okay, next for you? Oh, okay,
after
school.
The Miss America title, do you return to school, yeah, et cetera? What are your plans?
Okay, yeah, I have not graduated from my college yet, and I plan to go back to school after I give up my title as Miss America. And I would love to continue to promote my STARS program, because I have received so many invitations. They want me to spread about my message. Also, I would love to continue to dance so I can feel free. And I hope I own a condo at the beach. That's a possibility I won't. Cost a lot of money, though.
Some people in our audience today are not familiar with the President's Committee on Employment of Persons with Disability. Could you please tell us a little more about that?
Okay, yeah. Yes, I would be pleased to. I was appointed soon after I became Miss America, and what they're hoping to give people with disability have an equal right with other people who don't have disability, like, for example, like American with Disability Act, the ADA law, that's their job to help them, to give the opportunity for themselves, for their abilities and not disabilities. So really, I'm not a lawyer, and but I am very pleased to be part of this group, because I would be so happy to help any way I can with them. Like early detection, to give them a children who have losing their hearing loss, give them a chance with early detection. And this, if you want to know more about it, this Eddie here, he worked for the President Committee with on the employment of people with disability. He is wonderful. He helped me so much when I travel, and I really appreciate his help. But he will be happy to tell me more about it. Yeah. Okay.
Here's a question from a fellow that is in Birmingham, Alabama. What can be done to improve and expand the Alabama Institute for the Deaf and Blind? Is it an institution capable of advancing your cause?
Okay, you mean I can improve my cause? Okay. I try to get to his point.
Can that institution be used to advance your cause for early detection of hearing?
Definitely, yes.
Do you know this institution?
Yes, yes. Yeah, right.
Well,
I visited them.
All right.
Yes.
All right, there.
Okay, they work very well right now, and they teach, like, both oral and sign language, and it's very much like other schools for the deaf across the country.
This has been a presentation of the National Press Club and the Internet Multicasting Service.